morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 5th. What did Mel Brooks call it? Omen? The Omen? Mr. McCauley is alongside in my annual opportunity to play the age card.
It is. It is that. It is that visit.
It's that visit.
Yes, I am older than you. For another
couple more days.
It's the window.
Yes, a window of opportunity. We'll see how we take advantage of that one also. Let's see if we can find a quote in here that's worthwhile. Okay.
I'm sure
this is a new book. This is one Mike Wilson brought. Yeah.
Really?
It's all about love.
Oh. So, that makes a lot of sense with me sitting here.
This is not directed to you, man. Believe me.
Dang it.
I know that's kind of an interesting one. Tears are the noble language of the eyes. A little heavy. I got to find a smarty quote book. Things you may not want to share in mixed company.
I'll work on it.
We'll find some good ones.
I have a book of football quotes if you want one.
Oh, that's right up there with Yogi quotes, huh?
I used them in my rotary
stint. Play with your football helmet on, son. Your career will be extended. Oh, well, it is kind of interesting, some of the things that we're hearing in the national news these days, isn't it?
It is.
I heard a comment this morning, and it was, I guess, confirmation that the stuff in North Korea, the fires, the floods, the DACA, said tax reform is going to be a back burner issue.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, boy, here we go again. Dance, dance, stall, stall, and find... And then reality comes in and it doesn't get addressed. How frustrating is that for your lobbying groups and associations not to be recognized?
Well, I think it's an interesting question from the standpoint that professionally...
Oh, by the way, Bill McCauley.
Yeah. Professionally, a lot of change in the tax law makes our life... initially more difficult because we have to adapt to those changes. So when there's not changes in the tax law, there's a certain comfort associated with the old law we know. I mean, there was Danny Santucci, who's I don't know if he still does it. He used to do CPE and he was an attorney, tax attorney, and he was a riot. And by our standard, and he had a class one year. He says, "How do we stay current on tax topics when the government repeals our knowledge every year?" There's something to that, but there's a balance to be struck, obviously, in terms of the existing law, which has got a lot of problems, and the potential to make some changes. And we're still hopeful that there's going to be changes, but we're not sure what the timing's going to be. Now it looks like 2018 is more likely.
Who is the engine that makes tax law? That makes tax law changes? Is that Congress? Is that the Senate? Is that the states?
Lobbyists.
Okay, everybody all wrapped together with various degrees of influence. It's interesting for me. I suppose everybody's got a horse in the race, but with the whole DACA, that Congress didn't do what the former president wanted, so he did by edict,
right,
or fiat, or whatever phrase you want to use. Okay, so what is happening now is the president is throwing it back into Congress's court and saying, "You guys handle it. This is what you're supposed to do. This is not presidential edict. This is not the territory of this office." So with tax law, is that Congress? Is that Senate? Is that states? Is that
presidential? It's going to really starts in the Ways and Means Committee in the House. And that's where we see tax law really originate. Of course, none of us probably really want to see the process by which it originates. The executive branch can have a lot of influence on that. When we think back to the Reagan tax law, and our current tax law is really named for the changes that were made in '86. Those changes all occurred with basically, a lot of that was due to negotiation between Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan about things that they were able to find common areas to work together with. I don't know in our current political environment if you have opposing parties, if you'd see that anymore. I mean, I think it's a different, that was a different era in a sense.
Well, I don't think there's a Tip O'Neill on one side of the aisle. I don't think there's a Ronald Reagan on the other side. I mean, the leader concept, it seems like we've got a bunch of cats now rather than a herd to be able to have a point
person. I think that's well said. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, that's kind of my viewpoint too. And I think we all look at the current political structure from our own, you know, we filter it through our own set of biases, if you will, and there's nothing wrong with bias. It's just, it's good if we acknowledge bias. I mean, I think we all have biases. It's just the people who say they don't have biases are scary. Because, you know, really, I mean, we all are biased by our worldview and by our outlook. And
perspective is something that,
But it's my opinion that despite that, we should still be able to find common ground to work together on whatever, you know, wherever you sit on the spectrum, we should be able to find areas that we have agreement. And so, and I think even the area tax law.
Tax law, that tends to be more special interest vying against special interest. And
to some degree, but I think there are some general principles that most Americans can agree on.
Most elected Americans?
Well, they have a whole different set of influences and
different perspectives and biases.
Yeah, their biases are different.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can dredge up in that area then when we come back. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with a mature Bill McCauley. It's going to get progressively downhill.
Yeah, that doesn't often get said about me, so thank you.
Yeah, maturing.
yeah, rapidly.
Before the break, we talked a little bit about some of the perceptions and the biases that everybody has, but when it comes to the electeds voting on tax reformation or interpretation or things kind of start going a little sideways sometimes instead of staying on the rail. What sense do you have of the influence of lobbyists? Is it significant, a little bit, fine-tuning, major? Where do they fit in as those who construct the law are influenced one way or the other?
Well, I think from a tax law standpoint, the lobbyists are going to be, you know, right now the Republicans have the majority, so the lobbyists are going to have, they're going to be working really hard on those who are going to be creating a new law. The lobbyists are also going to be going over to people that they've been supportive of who are on the other side of the aisle, saying, "Hey, wait a minute, we really want to keep the stick in the ground here. We don't really want to see this one moved." And so everybody, you know, the lobbyists are working both sides, and
that's their job,
and it is their job. And unfortunately, it taints the system because, effectively, the way our system is set up, people get paid through charitable contributions to do what other people want, and so there's and it's on, you know, it's not like it's exclusively the purview of one party. It's just the system. It's what both sides are doing. And nobody is pure as the wind-driven snow, for the most part, with regard to that. I mean, there may be some people that are less susceptible. They may be because of the security of their district and because they're, you know, they may be able to be more independent than other people who are in a highly competitive district who are beholden to certain contributors and certain lobbyists and certain people who are having influence. So there's no question that when you get down, when it gets down to a tax law, that there are a lot of people who have an oar in the water, want to say, hey, look, we want this to go this way and that way. So, you know, you see that. But ultimately what will probably come down is that there'll be some kind of through the Ways and Means Committee in the House, there'll be a tax law that'll come out. It'll ultimately make it through that committee, make it through the House, go to Senate, have changes be made. They'll go to conference. Conference committee will come up with something that more people can get behind. The Democrats will oppose it. The Republicans will support it, and that's kind of, I mean, you know, for the 8 years before this year, that's kind of what we saw in the other way. Just flip the roles, and that's what's likely to happen. But I think that a lot of people are looking at our tax law and realize it's far too complicated. That's the first thing I'd tell you, is it's far too complicated. Second of all, it's not necessarily always effective. And so I think that we need to look at the effectiveness of the tax system and say, okay, how do we make changes that are going to be more effective in, you don't want to punish people for good behavior, so to speak, and you don't necessarily want to reward people for bad behavior. That being said, my perception of good and bad is different than your perception and the next person. So that's where that really becomes, where I think sometimes we lose the civil dialogue, the kind of thing that two people could have a good conversation about over a glass of iced tea or wine or whatever, and we get so impassioned that we lose respect for other people's viewpoints, and the conversation kind of falls apart there.
Doesn't seem like there's an awful lot of negotiation at times. That it's, everything is kind of black and white, yes, no. With the structure of the law, now the interpretation of the law and the code seems to have a whole different set of circumstances and reference points that accompanies the new law changes. Is that something that's missing? Is to, for those voting, to share with those regulators what the intent is, and to work towards the intent, or at least to incorporate that in there, rather than just carte blanche and say yes, no, 100% all the time, boom.
Well, I think that typically the IRS looks at legislative history and tries to understand what the intent of the law is when they do write the regulations. Sometimes they have broad power to write regulations. You think about the Affordable Care Act. It was a huge document. I don't remember how many pages it was, but it was colossal. And then the IRS had to interpret that colossal law into a consequently extremely large set of regulations. And they had to make interpretation as to what Congress really intended when certain points are in the law. Some of them are clear, some of them are not as clear. And
if it gets into the murky areas, does the head of the IRS go to the head of the Treasury and say, what do you think?
Well, what they'll do is they publish the regulations, proposed regulations, and they go out in the form of proposed regulations and they receive comment. And then if what happens is that as an example, if the CPA lobby, per se, says, oh, we think this is not the intent of the law, and we think there's a public policy issue, then that's potentially a real problem, and you're gonna have some kind of response.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, so at the federal level, there's not an awful lot of traction right now because of some of the other challenges that are out there that are making up the news.
Yeah, but what hasn't happened is keep in mind, though, what hasn't been said is this is going to be dropped forever. The concept of tax reform, it's still there.
It's on the range. It's just on the back.
It's not the hottest burning fire. No pun intended. Right now.
Yeah, it was kind of poor.
Yeah. No, I didn't really mean it as a pun because I mean it cuts too close to home. Difficult times for a lot of people, and we got all these firefighters out there in harm's way. And, you know, it's
doing
just,
the do, yeah.
I mean, think about, you know, we got families of firefighters who are out there, and we got these. Anyway, it's a time we need to really rally around our, you know, those the firefighters, their families, and people who, you know,
and the displaced. Yeah,
it's really, really a tough time.
I know there's a lot of frustration because of the length of this, also just the fatigue associated with for so long. Well, when you guys were over in the valley. You know, we hear about Cave Junction,
yeah.
But we don't hear south of Grants Pass. Is the Medford area getting a lot of the blow also?
Medford is very smoky. We were up there for 3 days this weekend, and there's fires there's fires all around Medford. So whatever the wind does,
it's out towards Crater?
Yeah, out towards Crater Lake. There's fires to the north, and there's fires obviously to the west, and those are all. And there's fires to the kind of southwest too, over near Applegate Lake. So there's
right, and then Happy Camping.
Yeah, so you've got Northern California, that depending on the wind, that smoke's dumping up into the Rogue Valley. You've got Applegate Lake, that depending on the wind, that's dumping in, or Chetco Bar, that's dumping in. Plus there's fires up above. I think they said there was 19 fires around Medford, kind of circling Medford. So it is a very smoky up there. Went to a concert on Sunday night, outdoor concert, and it was pretty smoky, but it was okay. Everybody seemed fine. But there were people wearing masks, and the people, the sponsors, had gone to Home Depot and Lowe's and Ace and wherever they could go, and they bought a huge supply of masks. So some people were wearing them. I think they had way more masks than they ended up needing. But the point being, it's challenging, and I'm sure that the attendance to that was suppressed because of the conditions. And it's just a lot of ash, a lot of smoke, and there's fatigue there too because this is a couple summers ago there was a bunch of smoke up there, and it was all from, seemed like the prevailing winds were just taking the California smoke and dumping it into it concerns the winemakers. They've got a huge winemaking winery and winemaking segment of their economy up there, and you know, the vintners are really concerned about what this is going to do to their grapes. I mean, it's a whole different heat, and they're not. As an example, on Sunday in the Rogue Valley, you barely saw the sun. I mean, it was supposed to be 100-something degrees, but you could look up and you couldn't almost see the sun all day long.
Yeah, that solarium feel is a little bizarre.
We're used to that here in Humboldt County with fog, but that was just a smoke, and it was thick. So anyway, it's a tough time, and I feel for people who are more impacted than I am.
There was some discussion last Friday, I think, maybe over the weekend, about FEMA and what they may or what they may not do, and keeping track of records, and you know, if you're impacted, I guess personally or in your business setting. What are the types of things that we should be monitoring or should be looking for or tracking for something like this that's been declared, okay, fine and dandy, is, but that's such a rare event. I don't think many of us have got history on what to do.
Right. Well, if you are in a disaster, if you have a federal disaster declaration, then there's some provisions of tax law that are favorable for a person, and that means but the people that are likely to be impacted are going to be people who have been burned, have lost property. But there are some people
their homes have been burned.
Yeah, or their business, or their where things where they you've actually had the physical damage.
Physical.
And so then the cost to restore that property needs to be very carefully kept track of, because basically you can deduct the difference between the fair market value of the property before the casualty and what it cost. Basically, you can recover in effect the costs that were associated with restoring your property to the condition it was before. Good luck with that if it was a treed, forested area with a how long does it take to plant to get a 100-foot Doug fir?
Well, does the act of God thing come into play also, where there may or may not be allowances?
Well, it depends on, for tax purposes, it depends on disaster declarations. If you have a federal and California disaster declaration, that opens up the proverbial floodgates for that tax. For that type of tax law relief. The other thing that struck me as I was driving home last night from Oregon is I drove through Klamath, and I'm thinking the Klamath River is closed for salmon fishing, and now it's a foggy mess. It's a smoky mess in there, and the businesses are going to suffer. They're already going to suffer because of the salmon closure on the Klamath, but now you've got, here it is early September, and it's a smoky mess. And so people are going to make other choices about where to go. So it's very difficult on the business community. It's very difficult on people who are living in smoke every day, heavy smoke every day. It's a tough time.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. Final couple moments this morning with the aged one.
Indeed.
The discussion so far, Bill, has been at the federal level. Now, when there's a state-declared local emergency, does that trigger things at the state level, whether it's the Oregon we were discussing or whether it's in California?
Yeah.
Yes,
it does. The state disaster declaration can open up the doors for some programmatic resources, as well as tax law advantages. So, and typically, if you get a federal disaster declaration, the state jumps right in and comes right along. Sometimes the state will. We've seen situations where the state will make a disaster declaration, but the feds won't. And so, and typically, what that results in is although there's some tax law stuff, it's kind of inconsistent. If you get it for California and you don't get it for federal, that creates some other problems. But there's also some other programmatic stuff that will come into play at the state level to help people who are in those disaster areas, whether it be a flood or an earthquake or fires or whatever those disasters are, other acts of God that we, thankfully are not experiencing at the moment.
So what is a rule of thumb for us to utilize? Just keep track of everything, make comments, make notes. How do you go about this stuff?
If you are impacted by in terms of you're going to incur cost to restore your property, you need to keep a good track of what those costs are. You want to have good records of those. So it's very important, as an example, if you have If you're in a federally declared disaster area and you lose property and you incur costs to restore that property, it's very, very important that you keep good records of your costs to restore it. You also need to have a good record of whatever the insurance kicks in, because you don't get it, to the extent that your loss is offset by insurance, you don't get tax benefits. So keeping a good file of the insurance claim and the related information is important. The other thing that you should be doing if you're in that position is be contacting your insurance agent right away to understand what the coverage is and what information they're going to specifically need, because that is really determined on a provider-by-provider basis. So it depends on your insurance company and perhaps their claims adjusters, what they're going to be looking for, you know, from you to make that work.
And just have it all there.
Yeah, and keep a good file. Yeah, and then, you know, if you're in a place where you're threatened by fire, make a copy and mail them to somebody who's not in the fire zone. You know, if you're in Junction City and you're one of the houses, one of the properties that are standing, probably not a good place to keep your records.
Farrello to Pistol River along Carpenterville, you know, evac yeah. 3. So, yeah, that's take precautions. Thanks for coming by.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
See you everybody tomorrow.